Hi, this is Marilyn Kimmerling, and I'm here with Malachi Betor from Radio Tacoma. And we are wanting to tell you a story that is true, that happened here in the Port of Tacoma. And I'm going to call this story Room at the Inn. So as many of you know, there's been a lot of homelessness or houselessness here in Tacoma. One group, which is known as the 509 encampment, has been down on the tide flats under the 509 bridge on ramp, in exactly the same spot as the old Hooverville during the Depression. And a group of people, several groups, Tacoma Housing Now and Food Not Bombs, have been working to find them safe housing during this winter time and during this COVID time. So they were able on Christmas Eve to move them up to the Travel Lodge in Fife, and one of the members put 15 rooms on their credit card and they were able to spend the night there. They've had the support of many different groups, but on Christmas Day, when it was time for them to check out, they put out a call for groups to come down in support to help them be able to stay another night on Christmas Day at the Travel Lodge at the Port of Tacoma. And what you're about to hear is different speakers on Christmas Day. People came from Seattle, Tacoma, Olympia, and other places in support of housing our neighbors who are unhoused and making sure that they're safe and that they're out of the weather. So this is the story, Room at the Inn.
Tacoma Housing Now advocates for the houseless residents of Tacoma. On Christmas Day, they held an action at the Tacoma Travel Lodge. Irene Morrison is here to tell us about it. Hello, Irene.
Hello.
What were you guys planning on for Christmas?
So our goal was to house residents from two camps that we serve, that we've been serving since about April. And we do not want one more death due to exposure in the city of Tacoma. So we viewed this as just the beginning, as a follow-on from our action at Galt, where we want to permanently house the houseless residents of Tacoma. There's about 40 of them right now. It fluctuates depending on the night. We have people staying overnight. There's a medic for every overnight shift, just to make sure in case of medical emergencies. And we are also providing 1 to 2 meals a day, some basic hygiene supplies, as well as cleaning supplies. And we are just going to try to continue and not stop until all of the 11,000 houseless people in Pierce County are housed.
Just as a reminder, how many unhoused people have died this year that you know of?
Well, there are 4 that we know of this winter. Last winter, one of our folks at 509 camp gave us a list of 20 people he knew who died last winter. And you know, it's not always the case that these deaths are recorded. So if we know of 4, then there's surely a dozen or more so far just in the city of Tacoma.
Does that include the man that was murdered on the hilltop?
I was just counting deaths from exposure.
Oh, okay.
The man murdered on Hilltop, that was also a tragedy. And that is one of the reasons why the second camp, we relocated folks from the second camp at 6th and M. We weren't able to take everyone. There's far more than 40 people at the two camps that we took people from. But like I said, we're not going to stop. This is just the beginning.
Right. Has the city of Tacoma had any response?
Not yet. No, we did this over the holiday, and we did that on purpose, right? There's room at the inn was our theme.
Yes.
The homeless man. So we're just doing, you know, not all of us, including myself, are Christian, but we do believe that, you know, Jesus was basically a Marxist and believed in housing the houseless. So that's why we did it over Christmas. And we also, you know, worst case scenario, we wanted to have people at least with a warm bed and shower over the holiday. But, you know, that's obviously not enough. If these folks are going to actually be able to get on their feet, this is not a stable housing situation yet. So we believe in housing first. Once people have a stable housing situation, they're able to do things like seek addiction treatment, get jobs, right? You can't get a job if you can't take a shower regularly, things like that.
Absolutely. So can you tell us about some of the speakers at the rally? We're going to be playing excerpts from the rally, but can you give us a little background on some of the speakers?
Sure. So we had a lot of members of our coalition who are also representing other groups like Socialist Alternative, which has a big contingent in Seattle. That was Karen Wilson. She was a great speaker, had a lot of things to fire up the crowd about. Also, we had folks who are part of our coalition who are relatively new, like Milo Hensley, who's a student, and he had pretty strong relationships because he lives near the camp at 6th and M, and that's kind of how we decided to move folks from 6th and M into housing. And we also had Lana Parrish. They are also a student who has been really closely involved both with Tacoma Housing Now and with Food Not Bombs.
And is this a nationwide movement?
Absolutely. Solidarity and shout out to Ashland, Oregon's Housing Now, Reclaim and Rebuild our community in LA, and a couple of other groups. We're working with activists in Philly, as well as folks in Olympia and Seattle. We've got quite a big coalition growing. You know, we were also inspired by Red House in Portland, and the actions that have been taken up in Seattle recently at Cal Anderson. The eviction moratorium keeps getting extended by a month or whatever, but it's not really a moratorium. People are still getting kicked out because of loopholes in the regulations. So this problem is only going to get worse.
Right. How can people help?
Well, they can start by going to tachousing.org and donating.
That's tachousing.org, right?
Correct, yeah. Some of the things that donations go to include supplies like food and all the hygiene stuff that I mentioned. Also, there are 11,000 more people in the city of Tacoma to house, and these direct actions that we take are not for free. But the biggest thing we need, even more than donations, is we need you to be calling your city council members, your county commissioners. We need you to call everyone that you can get a hold of and tell them that you support us and that you want to see people housed in hotels right now, that you want to see the police defunded and that money going towards housing the houseless. That's even more important than donations right now.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you very much. And now we're going to play some of the speakers from the rally. You have a good day.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye-bye.
Owned by the community to be distributed and used for community needs over profit. We're also demanding that the city of Tacoma defund the police. And fire all police officers involved in police murders. We then want the city of Tacoma to use that money to house our houseless neighbors, to provide social services, mental health work, addiction treatment, services for folks who are disabled, folks who are systematically cut off right now during this pandemic. So I'm going to open it up, and we've got a couple people who want to give some speeches today. And then we're going to do a little bit of an open mic so people can get up and say whatever it is that they want. But the last thing I just want to say on a personal note is that I've been serving a lot of the folks in the motel behind us for a long time now. And it means a lot to me to see all these amazing, beautiful people out here today in the rain on a holiday to support our community members in this way. So from the bottom of my heart, solidarity with all of you. And this is what community looks like. So I'm first going to hand it off to one of our comrades, Karen. Yeah, here she is. One of the main organizers from Tacoma Housing Now.
And there are no rent laws.
like Tacoma doesn't have. When the police are being funded, they are taking over a third of our revenue that we put into that revenue. That is our money. It's not the rich people's revenue. But if you ask the police who they protect and serve, it is not you and me, and it's not the people who are in those rooms. It is the rich. It is the elite who do not pay for them. That a third of the city budget goes to the police. That is our money. And the thing that the city council, who cannot do anything, they're going to tell you when we demand that they defund the police, they're going to tell you we can't do it. They did it in 2008. They defunded the police by 50%, and they gave it to the fire department. There must have been situation where they had to do it, but it's doable. They are lying to you. They are lying to all of us. And so, my question to Tacoma and Pierce County is, why don't we have rent laws? Why don't we have rent laws? Why are the police getting all of this money? And this is where you guys are going to hate me, because I'm gonna say the fault lies with us. The state apparatus doesn't house people. The state apparatus is not fair. We have to put pressure on the state to do these things. The reason we don't have rent laws, if we have not sufficiently put pressure on them to have them. We don't get rent laws from them. We get rent laws from us. We get homeless, housing people in homes because of the pressure we put on the state apparatus. And that's what you people are doing now. You're putting pressure on the state apparatus to do their f***ing job and to use our goddamn money to help us, which they are not doing. We've got to keep doing this. We've got to keep getting into the streets and talking to them, because the city will not do it until we have our necks on their neck, our feet on their neck. And we force them to do it, and they will do it. They respond to pressure, and we've got to keep it up. Working with Tacoma Housing now is that they invited me in to work with them. They knew I was a member of Socialist Alternative. I was a boring Marxist-Leninist. And they wanted to work with me anyway. I worked earlier this summer with activists in Tacoma who were worried about what you would think about them working with someone like me. That is part of the problem. You're going to hate this. That is part of the problem of the leftists in Tacoma. We've got to start binding together across class lines, across our left perspective, anarchists and Marxist-Leninists, boring ones, to work together effectively. We need to take our differences and we need to put them aside, and we need to focus on where we bind together. Right. We bind together on a lot of things. That's why. Seattle, the city of Seattle just passed a moratorium. That is the city of Seattle's moratorium, because those leftists up in Seattle, and I can tell you this, they hate each other. They talk about each other, but they get together and they get done. And we don't do it in Tacoma. We need to all put aside our prejudice and our discrimination that we do in our meetings. If you see someone telling a meeting that someone can't join into the meeting because you don't like them, or they're the wrong leftist persuasion, you have to counter that, and you have to tell them, no, we have to build a bigger group. The Tacoma left has got to start doing something different and new, because I'm going to leave. I'm actually going to go to Baltimore. But when I come back to Tacoma, because I'm going to retire here, I want all this cleaned up. I want to sit in all properly. And I told you, you are responsible. Let go of your prejudice and start getting together and attack them. When you attack them, we win. When we attack the state and the police and all of them, they lose. We win. But you've got to stay on them, and you've got to transmit it to your kids, because when they grow up, they're going to be dealing with this too. Because you don't want them to do what we did, which is kick back and assume the city was going to take care of these things. A person of color, Woodards, and a person of color, Blocker, was going to take care of this. want to do it. And it's up to us. And you've got to tell your kids, this is what we do. All of us down the goddamn line. We keep our pressure on our city government. And otherwise, this is where we are. Thank you again so much for everyone. Up next, we're going to have another speaker, one of the core organizers and founders of Tacoma Housing Now, does a lot of the media work. Rebecca, come on up here. Everyone give a big, huge hand of applause for Rebecca.
Can
you hear me?
Yes!
My name is Rebecca Parson, and I got involved with Tacoma Housing Now from the beginning because I think it's disgusting that in the richest country on earth, with the richest billionaires on earth, in this state, we have people living on the streets. We live in a historic time right now. 100 years ago, we lived in a similar time with a Great Depression and Hoovervilles, which were tent cities that covered the tide flats. Well, guess what? The 509 camp is on the exact same location as the Hooverville. It was called Hollywood on the Tide Flats, and they live on that same location. And at that time, the Tacoma Fire Department came in and burned it down to try to force them to move, and Hollywood on the Tide Flats just sprung right back up because they had nowhere to go. The same thing is true now. The fire department isn't burning down the camps. Instead, the police are coming and constantly sweeping people, making them move all over the city, making their lives hell, and thinking that if they do that, maybe they'll just leave and be somebody else's problem. Well, guess what? Olympia's doing that. Aberdeen's doing it. Seattle's doing it. Gallup's doing it. All of them are doing it, and they're just trying to play, shuffling it around. Well, guess what? It's everybody's problem. It's our problem. And that's why we decided to take action. That's why the members of 509 and other camps are part of our coalition. They guide what we do. They wanted somewhere warm for the holidays, and so this is what we did. The city of Tacoma has totally failed, now and 100 years ago. We can see the fact that we're in this situation, we're probably going to have another Great Depression. We have people who are on the verge of getting evicted. We have tent cities all over the place, and we have children going hungry. Why is that? Our system is built to profit landlords, real estate developers, and private interests, and not people like us.
That's right.
What we need as a result, our primary demand at Tacoma Housing Now, is a community land trust. Now what that is it's a legal structure that lets us put property into it and then as a community decide what we're going to do with it. So we demand that the city of Tacoma build empty public buildings into our land trust so that we control them and we can make sure that they provide extremely low income housing forever. That's our demand, that's what the city needs to do. And then in the short term as well, they are not even meeting the bare minimum of the CDC guidelines right now. They insist that they can't provide porta potties at the camps, which is a CDC guideline. They claim that one time they did put up a porta potty and somebody stood outside the porta potty charging people to get in. They literally said there was a porta potty landlord. Well, they're lying. There was no porta potty landlord. We've talked to everybody at the camps and asked them, did you ever see a porta potty landlord? Were you ever charged to get into the porta potty by a porta potty landlord? And they said, no, it's a lie. The mayor told us, we can't just pull out our credit card and deliver porta potties. He said, well, we did. We pulled out our credit card and had porta potties delivered to Galt Middle School, and then you had to cost garbage to anybody who wanted to take a face a felony for doing so. They absolutely can pull out their credit card and deliver porta potties to the camps. Another thing they need to be doing in the short term is picking up trash. They refuse to do that as well. We've asked them many, many times. So we rented U-Hauls. We spent $250, and we spent 3 hours picking up trash from one of the camps and 5 minutes dumping it in front of City Hall. Guess how long it took them to pick it up? A couple hours. That's right. It turns out they can do something fast when they want to. But back to the long-term demand. We want a community land trust. So with that, I'll pass it over
did
back
you
to
get
Arrow.
The previous speech?
Thank you.
The woman who was
blind.
I'm
trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it worked.
Quiet.
We'll see. That was just fiery. It was wonderful.
Hey, hey, y'all.
He was
so up next, we've got Banshee, Irene, who is another founding member of Tacoma Housing Now. And Irene has some good news to distribute to you all right now.
Let's hear good news, Irene.
Give me some news, girl.
I want to thank everybody for coming out today. And you all have made it possible. Everyone who we put in a room last night gets to stay tonight. So
yay!
We want the night.
Did the city of Tacoma pay for that
extra night? The city of Tacoma did not pay for this. There's a corporation that owns it. We spoke to the manager, and they decided that it wasn't worth the fight for tonight.
Yes.
So they're being given keys. They thought it would look bad if they evicted people on Christmas.
Well, it would.
All right, so in a minute, we're going to have a Quaker-style company if you'll move to speak for a couple of minutes. So I think Santa might want to say a word or two, and Courtney Love has a petition to share.
So we got a couple more people coming up.
I got a couple poems.
The next person, before we get to Santa, is another founding member of Tacoma Housing Now, an amazing radical here in town with an awesome Christmas shirt, Lana. Come on up. Give a couple words.
Yeah.
Don't get a big hand of applause for Lana.
Hi, y'all. I'm Lana. I've been a member of Foodnot Mom for a big check of 2020 and was a founding member of THA. And I have never believed in direct action more than I do now.
Yeah.
Direct action, getting good. That's how we get people housed. Uniting together all along the left is how we get direct action, is how we get people housed, how we get people fed, is how we get a community. Land Trust in Tacoma, in County. We're going to fight gentrification. We're going to fight all these mega corporations that are taking our land and kicking out our people. And we're going to give everyone housing.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning.
Right.
So I loved what Karen said. I'm a Marxist-Leninist myself, but I love my anarchist friends. I love some trots. I know. And I just think that we all have the same goal. We might disagree on little tidbits of theory or history, but at the end of the day, when we band together, this is the type we can get done.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to...
All right, so I just want to do some chants because I think those are fun. Let's go with... Sure, yeah. So we're
going to
do housing is a human right.
Housing is a human right. Housing is a human right. Housing is a human right. Housing is a human right. Housing is a human right. Housing is a human right. Housing is a human right. Housing is a human right.
Housing is a human right.
Not sure if we're on the naughty or nice list. I think we gotta ask Santa. So up next we're gonna hear from Santa. Great old Saint Nick himself. Pastor Gordy.
First
for over 35 years and a student of the Bible. So you got to hear your Bible lesson real quick. The Jesus whose life we celebrate today on Christmas would not have stood by while this happened. He would have turned over the tables of our government a long time ago. He would have chased the preachers and the pastors that stand by and make big money while people go hungry out of the church. The church as we see it today probably would not exist. Jesus would be standing right next to you. And I'm not a Marxist, sorry. I call myself a democratic socialist. And I truly believe that until more people Marilyn's age, Marilyn, there she is, or my age, with the white hair, stand up with the people like you, a little bit younger, with a little bit different color skin maybe, until we stand up with you, change is not going to happen. It's the least we can do. I'm going to change your words a little bit, Marilyn. It's the least we can do. And I am proud to be with you. And when we were at Galt Middle School about a month ago and we thought the police were coming, I thought, what a righteous cause to go to jail for than seeing that there aren't homeless people living in the same spot that homeless people were living 90 years ago. And one of my kids, one of the homeless kids that we brought into my house several years ago said, you're too old to go to jail. You're too old to suffer that. And I said, I'm too old not to see change happen before I die. And I pray,
thank you.
I earnestly pray that we will see change, that we will see no homeless people living underneath the bridge next year. Amen.
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 Oh, you're out of the range, big baby.
Everyone, give it up for Pastor Gordy. Pastor Gordy's radical as hell, let me tell you.
Salt Lake, and they applied their housing first model. You'll see how much money they save in incarceration costs. You'll see how much money they save in emergency services as far as, like, you know, taking people by ambulance to the hospital for pneumonia, for assault from somebody, you know, getting hurt on the streets. They saved thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So this argument that this is all a moral issue and that people want to be houseless because they want to be lazy and they want to live off the system is as stupid and uneducated as it could get. When it comes down to people using that as their basis for, we don't want to spend our tax money there.
It's our tax money.
Yeah, what the fuck do you want to spend your tax money on then? If we had a Great Depression, if we've had homeless, houseless issues for hundreds of years in this country, why the hell aren't we changing our thinking? Right? Obviously, the traditional way of forcing people to try to get work and battle with their mental health issues, battle with addiction issues when they haven't even looked at the root cause of trauma has not been successful thus far. So that argument about morality and that people just want to live off the system is moot. It's a moot point, and I really feel like that should be a driving force in the fight, in the talks that go to City Hall, where the mayor feels very entitled, right? Like, to say that we don't want to put any more tax dollars towards these issues. When in reality, we could be heading this off. This shouldn't be a problem in 2020. Like one of the earlier speakers said, we're the richest country in the world. The only reason that we don't have housing is because people don't want to make it a priority, right? They want to stick to their old notions of everybody has to earn housing. How? It is in the International Human Rights Foundation, whatever the fuck that is, that everybody deserves a house, right? Everybody deserves shelter. The Supreme Court has already decided on that in this country, that you cannot be arrested if you are houseless. Yet, you can be arrested for any other trumped up charge, right? So heading it up in those directions, looking at the Eugene model, a lot of my Seattle people have already heard this because I spoke about it last week, but the CAHOOTS program, right? Portugal and what they did as far as defunding, decriminalizing their drug problem, and putting those resources, all that money that they were using towards housing, towards treatment facilities, they watched their numbers drop over the course of a decade as far as what they were funding. All of the property crime that people want to bitch about from people being desperate and feeling like they need to steal in order to get their needs met, all of that shit would go down, right? The cycle of how houselessness works and what it involves, people may not want to look at it, but when they keep their heads buried in the sand, they also don't see how they can fix it, right? So as far as pragmatism, things that work, you know, efforts that are actually useful rather than futile, there are measures we can be taking. We just got to educate and get the word out there that what people have been doing so far is ineffective. So keep hounding your neighbors, keep harassing your relatives, especially the white ones that think that all this bullshit about capitalism is effective. Let them know that it's wrong and it's going down. We're not going to let it take over anymore. We're not going to let capitalism win. Our main priority is to make sure that everybody has a home and that they have the resources that they need to thrive. That's all I have.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, I just wanted to say again, thank you one more time so much to everyone out here in the rain, putting up with these terrible elements to support this community. It is so beautiful to see all the solidarity out here today. And I just wanted to remind everyone again, one more time, our main demands are: one, that the folks that are housed right now behind us in this motel are able to stay indefinitely.
Yeah.
Especially during a global pandemic that has already killed 300,000 people, and winter is coming, it's too cold, it's time to house our local community members. So that's our first demand. Our second demand is to defund the police, and to take that money and invest it in our communities, to invest it into healthcare, into housing, into education. Our third demand is to take all city-owned property in the city of Tacoma and create a community land trust,
yes,
in which that property would be controlled and organized by the community to be distributed based on human need and not profit.
Yeah.
So up next, we've got a very important speaker, another founding member of Tacoma Housing Now, a very close comrade of mine. Give a huge round of applause for AJ.
Hello everybody, my name is AJ, and I just wanted to say I am one of the residents under the 509 bridge. I am one of the houses.
I'll be right there.
Hold it up to your mouth!
And I wanted to also say thank you to everybody who's taking time from their families to be here to help me and my family on Christmas. So thank you very much for all your support, and let's get some housing now.
All right, up next we've got Deanna. Everyone give a big round of applause.
Yay! Hit it, Deanna.
Okay, is it close enough? Can y'all hear me? Because I'm a loud beyond. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
This is better. I have one thing to say. And all of us that are standing out here in this soaking, horrible, freezing weather, and all of us that work so hard, it's important that all came with.
Hold it up to your mouth, Dan.
And food not bombed. No. That we are so close to walking in these streets.
That's right.
Every single person in this city is right next to being homeless. It could happen to any one of us. And as I told many of our houseless comrades yesterday, we were talking during the move, tell your story. Your story. powerful. Your stories have weight. Your stories go straight to people's hearts, even people who seem so heartless. And these groups all have their right demands. Everything that they're doing is righteous, and we're powerful, and we'll become more and more united, I think, as time goes on and the weather gets a little better. But if we let anybody who's willing, who's in living in these camps, to take this mic and tell their story. No, tell their story from their heart. It will bring everybody to their knees. Because emotion, raw emotion, is powerful. And it's what connects every fucking one of us, whether we are a Republican or a very boring communist. And I love you. Merry Christmas. And where's that birthday girl? Happy
birthday. All right. One of the beautiful things about what I'm seeing here today is all of the comrades from around the Puget Sound and across Washington State. It's really beautiful. Where's my only people at? Where's my Seattle people at? Where's my Tacoma people at?
Yeah!
Where's my people from, like, I don't know at?
Yeah!
I work with Puget Sound, Tennessee, in Seattle. I work with Cancel Rent, Washington, and No Debt, No Evictions in Seattle and the rest of the state. I work with Rent Strike 2020, which is a national group, and we're also on Facebook. Which is where you might have seen us with a lot of spicy housing memes. And I'm like super jazzed with the action here. Can we give a huge round of applause for all the people who have worked so hard to make this happen for these people? This is amazing. And so I'm just going to talk about a slightly other side of the same housing fight for a couple of minutes, which I hope is okay, which is fighting for tenants' rights organization and preventing evictions. We just got an extension of the statewide eviction moratorium until March.
Woo!
So make a huge round of applause for that. Woo! I'm not trying to, like, you know, give rounds of applause to the elected officials who have done that,
no.
But I'm just happy about it. So we can all celebrate. So I work with a lot of people who are working on trying to work with tenants, and I want you all to know that you have a lot more power than you might think. We help people organize their buildings all the time. You can go around, get all of your people together, and then force your landlord to actually participate in the hardships that are affecting everybody else in the pandemic right now. The wave of evictions that people have been predicting has been hitting all over the country. We're so fortunate, sort of, to be living in a state, and depending on where you are, in a city where we still have an eviction moratorium that is helping us. But that's not going to last forever. And regardless of that, everybody is being buried under mountains and mountains of rent debt while nobody can get a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why Cancel Rent Washington is doing a thing. Again, I know that I'm also more in the direct action camp personally, but sometimes it's good to have a little dual power and work on the legislative side. So Cancel Rent Washington is working to lobby, you know, the state Congress and the governor to cancel rent and get, you know, cancel all of the debt from last year, and in particular to make sure that no evictions come from that. One of the things that I want to say is that we have groups of people that are, it started sort of with Puget Sound Tenants Union, but also it's really just protesters, who are preparing to help show up to prevent evictions.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in that, I want you to come and get in our signal chat so that you can be ready. We're getting our plans together. We're trying to figure out exactly how we're going to do all of this stuff. So If you're interested in joining either the Tacoma Eviction Response Chat for Rapid Response or the Seattle Rapid Response Eviction Defense Chat, please come to Chili here in the blue hair. And they can add you. In addition, I'll plug the tenants unions. If you need help with your rent, if you need help organizing your building and making your landlord make concessions, even if you can pay your rent, sometimes it's the people who can afford their rent who need to step up and help the people around them in their building who can't, because it turns out it only works if you get a good number of the people in your building that threaten not to pay their rent to use a rent strike against your landlord. Be a rent strike 2020. If you want help organizing your building, you should hit us up at soundtenants.org, or just come to me and I'll help put you in touch. Or you can hit us up at contact at soundtenants.org. And if you also have questions about your tenants' rights and what to do about that, you know who you should talk to. It's not us, actually, but Washington Tenants Union. And they have a really awesome website that's just literally tenantsunion.org. Like, they got the one in Washington. They got tenantsunion.org. And they're really good there. They know all the laws really well. And it turns out that Washington has some pretty good tenants' rights, and you can do a lot if you're struggling with your rent to avoid getting evicted. And if it turns out that you're going to be facing eviction, if you're going to be facing a line of cops at your door or at the court, then if you get in touch with us, then we can have our eviction response ready to go. Can I get one more round of applause for all the amazing work that has been done here today and yesterday? Thank you so much.
All right. We got three people left, and that's it. And I did also want to stress that not only are people here from all around the state here today, but all around the country, Housing Now activists have done solidarity protests today. So today there's been solidarity protests, if I'm not mistaken, in at least Ashland, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia. But we're also in touch with organizers from Kansas City, Portland, clearly Seattle, and I think there was one guy in Kansas City, which I might have said. But so this is turning into a national movement, and these networks and this action that we're building, this is going to be the foundation and the framework for the anti-eviction movement that's coming in this country. So up next, we've got Courtney Love, and then two more speakers, and then we're done.
Hello, I really am Courtney Love. I'm the Tacoma Courtney Love. I have not done a deep dive in theory, but I'm told I'm an anarcho-communist, so... but I am also a hyper-nerd in politics and government, and one of the things that we have a chance to do is do direct action legislation. We can write our own laws and get them on the ballot. And right now, I am working with I-1300, the Washington Anti-Discrimination Act, and it's also called the Manuel Ellis Bill. Manny's sister and family have endorsed this bill. It will reverse I-200 from 1998 and reinstate affirmative action. It will guarantee equitable access to vaccinations, and it will also ban chokeholds from the police.
Yes.
Woo. So this is, I am collecting signatures. You have to be a registered voter. I know some of you probably aren't. Can't buy my choice. So I get it. But I am collecting signatures. Each sheet has room for 20 signatures. I'm also looking for people willing to collect signatures. We have only a matter of days to finish out collecting 300,000 signatures. We have about 220,000. And we just need people to dedicate themselves to getting 20 signatures. I'll want your name and phone number so I can get in touch and get that paperwork back from you, or tell you someone closer to you to get the paperwork to. But we're desperate to have this law passed. It will benefit not just people who are at greatest risk of chokehold, but it'll help women, and it'll have gender protections, and protects veterans and against age discrimination. It's comprehensive. So please indulge, and also think about what can we put forth as In Tacoma, we can get on the ballot with 8,000 signatures. Wow. In the county, 35,000 signatures will get us on the ballot. And at the state, just 320,000 signatures will get us on the ballot. We can write our own laws. Let's do it. Thank you.
All right, up next, we can do the last two folks. Up next, we got Comrade. Where you at, Comrade? Big round of applause.
Y'all, thank y'all for going out and getting in the rain with us today. I am also an anarcho-communist. Bottom left. I pretty much just wanted to piggyback off of what a couple of us kind of said earlier. I wanted to piggyback off of how we. Honestly, we're tired of being on the defense, and we do need to be on the attacking end of things, and that doesn't always look like just boom smash. Like, DA, direct action, takes a lot of different forms, and honestly, I think one of the biggest ones that we need to see right now is reclaiming the narrative. Very often, we're very familiar with white saviorism, and we also see very often, as a member of the unhoused community myself, we see very often housed saviorism. And people advocating for our unhoused, not necessarily talking to the unhoused or listening. We need to take that step and listen to our unhoused neighbors. And if we listen to our unhoused neighbors, we need housing. And like very often, like I'm seeing an immense amount of mutual aid going around Washington right now, and it's beautiful. And honestly, like this is one of the things that like just gets me absolutely hyped. Seeing that move beyond keeping our houseless neighbors sustained in perpetual helplessness, actually getting them housed. Like this is the process that we need to see. This needs to continue and grow. And like this is the practice that we need to see today.
I'm good.
And yeah, I just wanted to also I believe as our pastor here at that talking about on this, special day, I'm not personally 0% Christian, but I find ourselves to be very Christ-like. I studied the Bible when I was younger, and what did Jesus preach? He didn't preach sign a petition. He didn't preach vote and everything will change.
Right.
Jesus' entire praxis was mutual aid. The first thing he said to his followers was, give away everything you have, you will be provided for. Give away every single last thing you have to follow me. This is the practice that we need to see. I think very many of us here are not Christians, but we are very Christ-like in mutual aid, and I just want to thank you all, and let's keep pushing this and listening to our unhoused neighbors and getting them housed.
Yeah. Yeah. Person.
Here it is.